Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patty LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, I didn't see you there.
Yes,
well,
you did.
While you're here, today's show is brought to you by the extremely kind donations by our donors over at Patreon. Andrew, tell us a little bit about Patreon.
Patreon is a site you can go to donate to your favorite creators, namely us, and get a little bit of some perks, as well as just the knowledge of knowing you're supporting us. And our current patrons are Stephanie L., Terry Needleman, Max Lunick, Benjamin Lehrer, Lily Ackles, Mackenzie Horner, John Donna, Taryn the Duck, Melissa Goldman, Jess Lightning, Ewan Cassidy, Haley McDonald, Tess Gear, Cullen McLeod, Fire September, Mina Maniri, Monica Thoreau, Brent Black, Haley Murray, Alice in Wonderland, and B-Way Flicks.
These folks give us a little extra financial support that helps us keep the lights on here at Musicals with Cheese. If you would like to join them and get tons of fun perks such as patron-only commentaries, our episodes a day early, and so much more, come join us over at Patreon. All right, Andrew, you ready to get this shit started?
I'm ready to get this shit started.
Hello, I'm Jesse McAnally.
And I'm Andrew DeWolf.
And welcome to Musicals with Cheese, the podcast where I try to get Andrew to like musical theater. How are you doing today, Andrew?
Oh, God. I don't have a joke for this one. I hate Annie.
Andrew, there is such an easy joke we could have made about this, you know?
Why didn't you do it then?
So, this is the first episode we'll be doing in the 20s.
That's true.
So we're back in Annie times, guys.
Yeah, and I may not have 20/20 vision, but at least my eyes aren't purely black like Annie's.
No, Annie's eyes are just white. She has no pupils.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They're just white. Oh, that's even worse.
There's nothing to relate to, just these white, soulless eyes. That's what happens when you become an orphan.
That's true.
So without further ado, our first episode of 2020 is Annie. It's a hard knock life for us. It's a hard knock life
for us.
Annie is a Broadway musical based on the popular Harold Gray comic strip, Little Orphan Annie, with music by Charles Stouse, lyrics by Martin Charnin, and a book by Thomas Meehan. The original Broadway production opened in 1977 and ran for nearly 6 years, setting a record for the Alvin Theater, now the Neil Simon Theater. It spawned numerous productions in many countries, as well as national tours. It won the Tony for Best Musical. The musical songs Tomorrow and It's a Hard Knock Life are among the most popular of the musical numbers. Andrew, I know what you think about Annie. Everyone knows what everyone thinks about Annie. So I want to know your history with Annie.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure I've only watched the movies. And I think up until today, I thought I had watched one movie about Annie, and I kind of just mixed everything together. And I think most people that I know have only seen the 90s one, which came out in, what, 99?
Yes, it came out in 99. Directed by Rob Marshall of Into the Woods, fun fact.
Yeah, and whenever I would talk to somebody about Annie, we'd talk about how much Annie sucks, because obviously everyone hates Annie. Who likes Annie? It's garbage.
Hey.
What?
Some people like Annie.
Oh, sorry. Pardon me. But I would always bring up the scene where Annie falls off a bridge. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? There's no part where Annie falls off a bridge. And I'm like, no, they're like on a bridge and like someone's trying to kill Annie. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? That doesn't happen in Annie anywhere. And now I get to finally say that definitely happens in Annie, just only in one of the movies. Not in the other one.
Nor in the Broadway show. So for context, Andrew says he's seen the movies. That does not include the more recent 2014 version. Let's put that asterisk
there. No, I have not seen the new Annie movie, which yes. I don't understand why we needed any more Annie movies. I don't know why we have two Annie movies, and then now there's a third one, and like...
And none of them really, really get the Broadway show, honestly.
Okay, I don't think... I still haven't seen the Broadway show, so no. That's another thing.
There were some attempts, but that is a very hard bootleg to find, apparently.
Yeah, we can't watch the Broadway show until we actually go and... We'll go and see it live at some point, and then we'll do another episode on Annie. Yes.
All right, so we know Andrew's history with Annie. I don't think I've really talked about Annie in any way, negative or positive, even in the days of, you know.
See, here's the fun story with Jess, is that he's not going to tell you, but Jess actually played Annie in a high school version.
No, that is not
true. He can still sing all the songs.
That part is true, but... I did like it a lot as a little tyke. I was a really big fan of it, and I was like, man, why can't I play Annie? You know, in the way that when little boys say that, you're like, oh, you.
Who cares? Who would want to be Annie?
You just want to stand in the middle of the stage with a dog on your lap and sing out Tomorrow. Don't you want that, Andrew?
No. I want to sing about yesterday and how much better it was before I watched Annie.
So you want to sing Beatles songs? Yesterday, the Annie films just fell away.
I didn't have to watch both Annie movies in a row.
But I did see it live in the national tour, and the first version I ever saw was the 82 film. And then I saw the Rob Marshall 99 film, and the 99 film is closer to the Broadway show, but neither of them quite get it right. Like, the 82 film gets things right that the 99 film didn't get right, and the 99 film got things right that the 82 film didn't get right. And so they're neither good enough adaptations to represent the original thing, which wasn't that good to begin with.
Okay, yeah, but we're not here to discuss... how close it is to the Broadway show. We're talking about how good it is, Jess. And they both suck in their own way.
So, instead of how we usually do, this is going to be a little bit more of a comparison contrast of movies, which we're bored, and we were going to do an entire month of January, but then we got bored with that idea. We realized there's only so much to say about Annie.
There's still a lot of Annie in our schedule, I think, because I'm pretty sure we're still talking about other Annie shit. I don't know.
We're not against talking about other Annie shit, but right now, like, we're tired just from what we've seen.
Hey, happy January.
A bald billionaire.
Leaping legends!
And an orphan that sings.
The sun will come out tomorrow. So you gotta hang on till tomorrow.
It's something famous.
I don't like it. Send it back.
And something brand new. You can't see it yet, but it's about to come true. The movie of tomorrow.
Very good.
Is in production today.
Of course, it's Annie. It's only a dream away.
So, Andrew, let's start from the 82 film. Let's just talk about what your initial thoughts were on that. Because I know that wasn't what you watched first, but it's what you watched more recently.
I mean, I think in the grand scheme, it is what I watched first. Because I think that movie had more of an impression on me than the 91. Mm-hmm.
So this one starred Aileen Quinn as Annie, and she does a serviceable job. It had Anne Reinking. Who is most known for being Bob Fosse's girlfriend and starring in All That Jazz as Grace. Albert Finney as Oliver Warbucks. Tim Curry as Rooster. Carol Burnett famously as Miss Hannigan. And Bernadette Peters in a very thankless role as Lily, I think her name is. Lily St. Regis.
That character that you could just remove from the whole thing and whatever.
I'd say in this version and in the Broadway show, you couldn't. But then the 99 movie makes a stupid decision. But we'll go into that later.
The 99 movie, she does not need to exist. But
yes, the 99 movie, she 100% doesn't need to exist. And this in the Broadway version, yeah, I get it. So now that we've done all, it came out in 1982 and it was directed by John Huston, which is one of the more interesting things I learned while doing a little bit of research on this film.
What has he made?
He made Angelica Huston from his penis.
Shut your mouth, okay?
Shut my mouth.
Let's dive in.
He was in Chinatown. He's like a really big actor. He was in Orson Welles' new film that came out a few years ago. He's a really big fancy actor, but he's also a director. He wrote that line very well.
He's like Tom Cruise.
No.
Kind of like Tom Cruise.
Similar
to Tom Cruise.
As much as they both have acted in movies, yes. If you think anyone that's ever been in a movie is Tom Cruise, yes.
There's a lot of people that are similar to Tom Cruise.
Like, he directed the original Casino Royale film. Like, he's a big director.
That's good. Mm-hmm. This must be his worst movie.
How he worked, though, he works very interesting. He would do one for the studio, like, give them the big budget feature that they wanted, and then they'd give him the smaller, weird indie movie that he wanted to make. So this was, like, the one for them.
Ah, so he didn't give a shit about this one.
Yeah, and you can kind of tell.
You can absolutely tell.
The only three people who give a shit about this movie is Carol Burnett, Anne Rankine, and whoever's playing Punjab.
Yeah, and that's just a bizarre character on its own.
That was another
weird...
Is he
from the show?
No, he's from the comics. They added comic characters to try to... Yes.
He's... I mean, he's not, like, racist, I don't think, but maybe?
Racist, but maybe. I think he might be. Whatever he is, he hasn't aged well.
No. I mean, he's just kind of a yes man to this rich Lex Luthor type.
Yeah, he's like, it's like a supervillain collection, because he also has the ass, whatever that is.
Yeah, I don't know. And I'm... My headcanon for this is he is Lex Luthor.
and he just happened to adopt a child. He did one good thing, but he's also a Republican that profiteers off of, like, everyone else's suffering. Which basically lines up with everything we see in here.
He's a billionaire in the Great Depression.
He's a self-made man, Andrew. He was born an orphan and he made every dollar himself.
There are no self-made billionaires. There are self-made millionaires, but if you're a billionaire, you stepped on somebody.
I mean, isn't that kind of a line from the movie?
Maybe? Which line are you thinking of?
Where he's like, I stepped on a lot of people to get up here, but I never thought of looking back. Something like that. Where that's the moment of self-awareness. And I don't understand politically where this leans. I understand a lot better in the Broadway stuff, but in both movies, they kind of lean away from the political topics and just be like, Roosevelt shows up. FDR's here. What? Why? Who cares?
FDR, he's a good guy, but like Warbucks is like talking about how he doesn't know what Democrats eat.
Yeah, and apparently Warbucks doesn't know that orphans can be any gender. It's not a gendered term.
Yeah, he says orphans are boys. He never changes his heart either. Like, he just kind of likes Annie, and then that's it. Nothing else changes about him.
No, nothing at all. He is still a horrible war profiteering, probably asshole, who probably shouldn't have a kid. He's not going to take care of her. It's like a puppy. He's going to forget she exists after a week.
No, I mean, they're tied at the hip, dude. You saw they danced at the end.
I don't need anything but you.
But you.
What do you think of the performance?
And also millions of dollars.
Yeah. If we get hit by this recession, fuck you. You're on the street hooking.
Oh, you know he would too. He yells like most of this movie. He's just like screaming about everything all the way up to the end.
Yeah.
Get her! Go get her!
Oh, what do you think of the performances altogether?
Okay, I think the main one you gotta talk about is Annie. The difference between this movie and the 99 movie is I think the Annie in this one is better.
Yes. at least a little less Disney Channel-y. This one feels a little grittier.
Their singing tone is at least a little nicer. Although there's sometimes where she goes into like this squeal almost, and it's like
Leapin' Lizards.
Also, Leapin' Lizards is not a thing anyone should ever say, and I hate it. So I think the Annie in this is a little bit more fun to watch than the 99 version, and that's good. I like Daddy Warbucks in this because I think that he works best when he's a jerk.
Yeah.
And he's a big jerk in this one.
Very, very hard to like, yes.
And Miss Hannigan is way better in this one than the 99. Miss Hannigan in this is fantastic.
Carol Burnett really brought her A game here, and she's just a two sheets to the wind drunk woman who she doesn't even actively hate the children as much as she's too drunk to give a damn.
Yeah, and I feel like that works the best. Like, she's just a person who lives in the Great Depression and runs a business that's probably not very profitable.
And she makes bathtub, like, liquor.
Yeah, it's great. She's every scene she is in is like, wow, this is, like, actually decent.
Actually decent.
This is watchable. I could tolerate this.
What'd you think of Tim Curry as her brother Rooster?
I feel like they went a little overboard around the end when he decides he just wants to murder Annie, but I think the performance was very good.
I'm going to agree with you. Like, that's probably the moment where I'm like, kids movie? And that's probably the one time when John Huston's like, you need stakes, try to throw her off a bridge.
I like it.
She's holding up for dear life. He's trying to pry her fingers off on the bridge.
At the same time, I mean, like, aren't you just in this for a little bit of money? I guess they do that in the 99 movie, too, though, because he's like, I'll just kill her after we're done.
Like, yeah, but Jesus. That's more like a veil threat instead of him, like, holding her head underwater or whatever.
Yeah, he's really into the murder thing here, so.
Like, cut to 20 minutes earlier, and they're, like, dancing around the fucking orphanage.
Easy Street.
That number is so
murder
good in the
kids.
82 version.
Yeah, so there's a good amount of good stuff in this.
I hate the dance numbers. I hate the dance numbers in this. The extent, and I know they only did it because they had Anne Rankin, and they knew that she's the closest thing to a Bob Fosse dance they could probably get.
They're okay. They're not impressive enough to be worth putting into the movie, though, to be honest.
Agreed. And there's a bunch of... There's no big omissions, like, they're not going to cut... But Tomorrow isn't sung until, like, two-thirds into the movie. Like, they play it as the opening credit thing, but they don't actually sing it as a song in the story until the movie's almost over, which is a weird choice. And it's being used as, like, a political song in that moment, too.
Yeah.
That's just a weird choice.
Because they put it at the beginning, and then they sing that dumb dog song. Is that even from the show?
No. There were two songs written especially for this movie, and both of them are god-awful. They're written by the original people who did the Broadway show, but they're very bad additions. Three songs. Because there's Dumb Dog, there's Sandy, because we need two fucking songs character
two
development
songs.
For the dog.
Two songs back-to-back about this stupid dog.
Yes.
Like, who cares?
And then we have Let's Go to the Movies, which replaces what is probably my favorite song in the entire Broadway show, NYC, and it's just such a cheeseball song that makes me want to fucking slit my wrist.
Yeah, that song's not very good, I agree.
And it goes on forever. It goes on for fucking ever.
And, like, Dumb Dog and Sandy are so pointless, and the Dumb Dog song doesn't even make sense. Because she's saying, like, that she thinks the dog is stupid for following her, but then she just adopts the dog, like, immediately afterwards. It's like, what is even happening here?
Exactly, and it's... But a lot of the broad strokes of the show and the story, it's there. It's fine.
Yeah. I think, like, they cut some good stuff with NYC for sure. And, I mean, Tomorrow, I don't even know how you go about not including that, but whatever. but I like a lot of the stuff they did in this at the same time.
What do you like?
Everything with
what are
Ms.
you
going to
defend
everything
here?
Everything with Miss Hannigan is perfect. Everything with Miss Hannigan is perfect. I like the weird bridge thing at the end because I think it's just so absurd and hilarious. Like I don't know, it just goes off the rails. It's like it's like the right amount of terrible that it's like hilarious. So I kind of like that. And that's about it. Although that's a lot for me to like. That's a lot for me to like in Annie. So.
I liked the Hard Knock Life scene. It feels really big and kind of bombastic.
Yeah, oh, you know what? You're right. The Hard Knock Life stuff and the fact that Annie's voice isn't, like, awful, it helps a lot of the songs, too.
And she actually has naturally curly hair. It's not just, like, somehow curled at the end. That always bothered me in the Broadway show because of branding. But...
Yeah. She actually looks the part, like, the entire movie.
Yeah, she feels like a real gutter snipe.
I just hate Annie because she's so uppity all the freaking time. I think at the end, after we're done talking about each of these movies, we should just go into everything wrong with Annie because I got some...
Hold on. We need to talk about one more song that was added for this movie that is just trash. Sign, which is possibly the worst song ever in a movie musical. Yeah,
you spend your evenings in the shanties.
You had me followed.
Imbibing quarts of bathtub gin.
Bronchitis.
And here you're dancing in your scanties.
Great gams.
With some old geezer called Little Caesar.
He's an uncle.
You lock the orphans in the closet.
They love it.
You huck their Christmas souvenirs.
Drink.
You steal the funds you should deposit.
It's fresh.
You make them grovel while you buy lavaliers. You
must you upset me? Why don't you pet me? Hit you, I crave now. Let's misbehave now. You want a smoochie, my little
penitentiary.
Jail?
Child.
I guess I'll never know the feeling.
You rot in jail.
Of running fingers through your hair.
Sing, sing.
I guess this means no bonus Iris.
Will you sign?
Well, I don't need you.
That's fine.
So just forget
the dotted line.
What is even the point?
You remember that song, right?
Like, vaguely. Could you sing it for the audience here? Because I doubt they remembered either.
You lock away the Christmas goodies. Sign.
Oh, God, yes.
And she's, like, falling into her bathtub, and she's, like, trying to touch on his head, and it's, like, weirdly sexual, and basically Carol Burnett gets to do her shtick for about 3 minutes.
It's bad.
She likes a very dry martini. She likes a very wet souffle.
Cut it, get rid of it, throw it into the dumpster.
Hey, sorry to interrupt you in the middle of the show, but we've got a shill at you. Today's show is brought to you by the extremely kind donation by our donors over at Patreon. Our current patrons are Stephanie L., Terry Needleman, Max Lunig, Benjamin Lair, Lily Ackles, Mackenzie Horner, John Donna, Taryn the Duck, Melissa Goldman, Jess Lightning, Ewan Cassidy, Haley McDonald, Tess Garrett, Catelyn McLeod, Fire September, Mina Maneri, Monica Thoreau, Brent Black, Haley Murray, Haley Elson Wonderland, B-Way Flicks,
Mary Flicks.
I'm glad these people are giving us money just to muddle through their names. But they give us a little extra financial support that helps us get the lights on here at Musicals with Cheese. If you would like to join them in supporting us and get tons of fun perks such as patron-only commentaries, our episodes a day earlier, even earlier, and so much more shit, just come on over on Patreon. Come on our Patreon. Alright, are you ready to get back to it and talk about the Annie?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFF's creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFF's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Yes, let's talk about more Annie.
It's about the music audiences around the world have cherished for a generation.
The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun.
It's about the characters who make you believe anything is possible. It's about a little girl with hope in her smile and the uncanny ability to melt the heart of even the most scrupulous billionaire.
Who are you?
I'm Annie.
All right, let me set the scene for you. 1999. We need another Annie movie. Guys, you know what we haven't had in, like, I don't know, 18 years almost? Another Annie movie. Why don't we make another one? We could contact those guys from the Disney Channel. I'm sure they'll make a good one.
It was made for the Wonderful World of Disney, which was like proto-Disney Channel.
Yeah, and it sucks about as bad as a Disney Channel freaking... Like, it's awful. It's
you think
bad.
This
it's on
one's...
Disney Plus, so you can check it out.
Do you think this one's really bad?
I don't like it at all, honestly. I was
all
so
right.
bored through the whole thing.
Well, let's dive into this. Why don't you like it?
Okay, Annie's vocal tone is awful. Whoever they got to play Annie just sucks.
Dude, she's
sorry,
a kid.
But
she's a kid.
Not sorry. I don't care. If a child's going to sing on my screen into my headphones and I have to hear it, then they better be good.
All right, what else didn't you like?
Miss Hannigan is lame. They don't do anything
yes.
fun with her in this.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because Kathy Bates had just won an Oscar and they wanted to either... You use her a lot or use her a little, so they use her a lot and make her just play up her usual Kathy Bates shtick, which is be angry.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, she's pretty lame.
They probably, also because it's like late 90s, they probably couldn't portray her as like a drunk in a kid's movie. So.
Yeah, and this one is
lame.
Ranking up, like cranking up the kid's movie side of it. It's going full children's movie.
Full kid's movie, yeah. Warbucks isn't even like angry and he becomes like super nice like one scene in and it's like okay whatever.
he Victor Garber just by his nature just kind of calms you by his presence. He's even when he's trying to be like who are you and they're like you're a teddy bear fuck you.
Yeah, it's like he's not even in the very first scene where he's like almost about to kick Annie out, he's not even like threatening in any way. Whereas
right.
if you go back to the 82 one, like he's like about to grab her by the neck and throw her out the window.
Do I smell wet dog?
In this one, he just says the line like, orphans are supposed to be boys. And she's like, oh, can I please stay? And he's like, oh, all right. That's it.
And you kind of don't get any of the really, I'm frustrated by your existence in this and the way that you get in the 82 film.
Yeah.
Where you're just trying to get your work done and then there's this kid flying an airplane all around you.
Yeah. Like, they cut so much of that and there's like, there's no edge to it, man. There's no edge.
Mm-mm. With that being said, it is closer to the Broadway show than the 82 film.
I'm not sure that's saying anything good, though, because if that's true, then the Broadway show probably sucks.
Well, the thing is, and now we're going to talk about comparisons. I like this version a little better just because I like the vocal quality of the song and there's a bunch more songs I actually like in this and there's not 5 minutes wasted on songs I don't like. So they
That's
cut
true.
The songs.
They did cut the BS, got rid of the bullshit, and they included the tomorrow part, which is like kind of important.
You know, a little bit.
All right. Well, now that since Jess is a little bit off the rails, let me just go into why this sucks so much.
All right.
Andy is... trash. Okay. Okay. I think Annie is so politically confused and it doesn't know what it wants to be in any way. It's like a book written by Ayn Rand, but they cut all the libertarian stuff. And it's like, what is even happening in this? I don't understand. What is going on? All these people are terrible and I hate it.
Yes. It was weird. So, okay. I remember where I was going. So the 99 film... A lot of things are here that were in the Broadway show that wasn't in the 82 film. but there's things that were in the 82 film that were in the Broadway show that isn't in the 99 film. So let's go into that. So much, Miss Hannigan is very much an alcoholic in the Broadway show, much like the 82 film. And they don't even hint at that in the 99 film. She's just kind of normal, put upon woman.
She's just a meanie. She's just a big meanie. She
big
yells
meanie.
At people a lot.
She yells and she... Well, they even kind of dissuade you from that. She's like, I've never hit any of you, but you threaten, and that's worse. And I'm like, is it though?
I mean, it's not good, but is it worse than actually hitting them? I don't know about that.
I'm going to say, you're going to have to check the Bible for that one. I'm not sure that's
okay. I'm going to have to check the Bible. It says in the Bible that you can't do that.
Actually, this says you should hit your kids. Come here.
Hang on.
Hang on. I also like the songs that they added, as I said before. But this does cut the political leaning, and FDR does just kind of come out of nowhere because they cut the visit that she had to see FDR.
Yeah, he just shows up and he's like, I solved all the problems. Haha, here I am.
It's that way in the musical too, but you see him before at least, and you set him up.
Like this one, it's set up technically because he mentions that he's going to come over for dinner, and that's it.
Yeah. But in the Broadway show, and this is where the biggest change between both versions are, it's a very political show. Like, the very final song is a song, it's not Tomorrow, it's not anything like that. It's sung by the Roosevelt, and it's called A New Deal for Christmas. That's basically like, we're about to fix everything. We've got a new deal for Christmas.
Like, Warbucks is like, I don't agree with this at all.
Yeah, basically. And there's also, when Annie is hiding away, she hides in a Hooverville. And there's an entire song, and it's like a really dark, nice song. And when I saw it, when I first saw the national tour, I was like, why isn't this in every version? It's so cool sounding. And it's called We'd Like to Thank You, Herbert Hoover. And they're all like... I used to live in like this giant house and now I'm on the street. What the fuck happened?
Today we're living in a shanty. Today we're scrounging for a meal. Today I'm stealing coal for fires. Who knew I could steal?
I used to winter in the tropics.
I spent my summers at the shore.
Just throw away the papers.
We don't anymore.
We'd like to thank you, Herbert Hoover, for really showing us the way.
We'd like to thank you, Herbert Hoover. You made us what we are today.
Prosperity was round the corner. The cozy cottage lived warm.
And it's just these homeless people shitting on Herbert Hoover.
So that's actually interesting because in these movies they cut all that out and like
yes
any adult that's watching you can't help but think like Warbucks is hoarding all this money in the Great Depression but he's the good guy
right
like what's going on here
and that without those numbers you don't have the like kind of underline of allowing you to make sense of all this nonsense.
I just want to say that Annie is in the luckiest position possible because she's going to inherit all that money and she's never going to work a day in her life. All because she's a happy, smiley little orphan. Because
she could sing, Andrew. Can your orphan sing? Didn't think so.
Yeah. What about all the other orphans in the orphanage? Does Warbucks give a shit about them? I don't think so. Is Warbucks going to donate money to other orphans or is he just going to invite one orphan over and then adopt her? And that's all problem solved. We did it.
Well,
I hate this.
In the end of the Broadway show, in all fairness, Miss Hannigan has the orphans brought over so she could be arrested alongside Rooster and Lily, which is they come to go pick up Annie, and Miss Hannigan's also there for unrelated reasons. All the orphans get presents, and FDR was going to see to it each of you orphans get adopted. The president himself.
Oh, that's so great. What about all the other orphans in all of New York City? Are they getting adopted too? Is Roosevelt gonna see to it?
But no, he can see to it finding Annie's real parents before these guys try to throw her off a bridge.
Yeah, we gotta get the FBI involved. with finding this little girl's parents.
Well, the thing about the 82 movie is they set up FDR, but they never pay him off, so to say. Like, you have that set up so you know, oh, it's not random that he comes in, saves the day, and figures out who these people are with the help of the FBI. Instead, he shows up, and then he's there at the end at their I Got Adopted party.
I got adopted.
I got adopted.
I can't help but feel a little bad for, like, Miss Hannigan.
Why?
I mean, she treats these kids badly, but, I mean, Daddy Warbucks, I mean, how many sweatshops does he fucking run?
I mean, what is his business? Like, do they ever say what he does?
Well, they don't call him Warbucks for nothing.
Is he a war profiteer? I mean, I'm sure he's a war profiteer of some kind. He has to be, right?
I don't know. Maybe not. It is before World War II happened, so yeah. He might not be. But he does say he runs a lot of factories and they're closing down, so I'm sure he's laying off a ton of employees just to make sure he can keep that money. And I bet you those factories aren't in very good condition considering what time period this is.
Right. Do you think it was a good thing that they cut Punjab in the ass from this new version?
I mean, as far as ability to exist in 2019, yes. But do I want this movie to exist in 2019? No.
All right, Andrew, let's go into the song numbers.
There's actually quite a few, like, decent songs in this.
Mm-hmm.
I just hate the story and the singers a lot.
And how cheesy
it is. Annie is always a little girl.
Yeah.
Annie's always a little girl, and little girls can't sing. And so that's why this show always sucks.
Maybe far away, or maybe real nearby. He may be pouring her coffee. She may be straightening his tie. Maybe in a house, all hidden by a hill. She's sitting playing piano. He's sitting paying a bill. Betcha they're young. Betcha they're smart. Bet they collect things like ashtrays and art. Betcha they're good. Why shouldn't they be? Their one mistake was giving up me.
I think Maybe is actually one of the better I Want songs out there, because it's a way of her saying what she wants without saying it, if that makes sense.
She wants her parents.
Yeah, but it's also not like, I wish I had my mom and dad. They would love me so much. It's like, maybe this is the life I could have, which is so much more powerful than I want this.
Yeah.
Lyrically, I think it's really good in its simplicity.
I love her character arc, you know? She goes from wanting her parents to realizing that her parents are dead and she's just going to have to settle for this billionaire.
No, it's her being dead set on having her birth parents, then realizing it doesn't matter as long as you're being taken care of.
Yeah, it doesn't matter as long as your person caring for you has $1 billion and also a bunch of servants that can cater to your every whim.
I mean, you're not wrong, but also I see the broader point of this show, whereas you're looking at the facts.
I'm looking at what's actually there, and you're like, well, this is what I would have done if I wrote it. But you didn't write it. Okay?
No, I didn't say that. I was just telling you the intention of the writers, and I can feel that in there. You can say whether or not they nailed the landing, but this was what I feel like was the intention.
Jess looks at a plane crash where, like, everyone died and the plane is, like, half in the ground. And he's like, well, I could see the pilots really tried to land the plane.
You see, the rolly wheels were out, so they weren't trying to crash it.
Yeah, you could see the pilots were really trying to put this right on the runway there. They just missed by a few miles.
You know, I've seen worse plane crashes out there. You know, I've seen ones where they just nose first in, but this tumbled a bit. There was some...
Good job, Jess. You gave it the benefit of the doubt there, Jess.
You're really pulling out your Bostonite tonight.
Oh, I am. I'm feeling it.
You might as well play Annie with that accent you got there.
I do more of a Boston than a New York, I think, but...
Betcha they're good. Betcha they're smart.
If Annie was a little Boston girl, she'd just be beating the shit out of everybody in this.
She does that in the 82 movie, though.
She does. I just like the 82 movie so much better.
Because she beats the shit out of people. I'm a fuck you boys up.
No, she does that, like, she's gonna beat those boys up, and then they look back, and she does this, the least threatening thing ever, where she holds her fist up and does, like, a cutesy smile, and it's like, and they keep running away, like, what, get out of here.
No, she does, like, a pouty face.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate it.
But you love the 82 movie.
But I love the 82 movie. Quote, unquote, love the 82 movie.
Because, Andrew, how do you know she's a strong, independent woman unless she beats the shit out of some men?
Well... Number one, maybe just actually have her beat the shit out of the men. I would have been fine with that. Having her do a pouty face while she holds her fist up and looks cute, that sucks, okay? I don't...
Yeah.
No, don't do that.
It's the hard knock life for us. It's the hard knock life for us.
Instead of treated, we get tricked. Instead of kisses, we get kicked. It's the hard knock life.
All right, let's talk about It's the Hard Knock Life.
I'm in. This life is a hard knock one.
Yeah, this gets referenced by like everything.
Yeah, how Austin Powers 3
exists. Austin Powers 3 did it.
That's the only one I can think of.
There's definitely more, but I can't think of them at the moment.
Austin sure Powers 3 and it. Nothing else. No, they've never referenced Hard Knock Life, but they've referenced I think I'm gonna like it here.
Yeah, they have. I think they've done Hard Knock Life too, honestly.
I honestly don't think so.
Or maybe that was American Dad or Cleveland Show.
The best things that animation has brought us. Just start quoting Ted 2 and see how many people laugh.
Ted 2. Hilarious. All right.
Almost as funny as A Million Ways to Die in the West. It's fine. It's a cute song. It's iconic for a reason.
All right. Fair enough. What do you think of Tomorrow?
It's nice. It's a fine song. It's iconic for a reason.
Little cheeks, little teeth, everything around me little. If I wring little necks, surely I would get an acquittal. Some women are dripping with diamonds, some women are dripping with pearls. Lucky me, look at what I'm dripping with.
What do you think of little girls?
I like little girls. I think that sounds just put, a little
overlooked.
Hold on.
Just put that right there on the poster. I like little girls. Andrew DeWolf. Musicals with cheese.
Quote unquote, not a pedophile. I like little girls. Well, I mean, some people are just drowning in little girls or dripping with little girls. That's worse. That's worse.
Why do you like this song so much? I mean, I like it too, but...
I think it's just because there's no little girl singing it. It's just Miss Hannigan. And so there's an adult singing. And I like it.
Right. I think the song is great. It is nihilistic in the best ways.
Yes. And honestly, I think this song is...
The I Want Miss song, Hannigan the hero song.
This Miss Hannigan is just the most relatable character in the show. Because, like, I can't relate to billionaire Daddy Warbucks... Or ridiculous optimist Annie, like.
I think Sandy is like, the most relatable character in the show. What? Where am I going? Okay, I'm going over here.
Sandy's a dog who is receiving stage directions with me.
Fair, yeah, I guess.
Which honestly, that is kind of relatable.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Is this
tree?
Will there
let's skip some. What, Easy Street? What do you think of Easy Street?
I love Easy Street. It's fun. It's a really fun song. It's a great villain song that you can actually hum along. It's not just like, I'm evil. It's more like, here's a goal that we're trying to get to, and in Act 2, we're going to have something that'll come up, and we want to get to it.
Easy Street. I like Easy Street.
Easy Street.
I like Easy Street. That's a fine song.
I like it, but I'm missing the 82 version, how they don't really have the intro to it. And the intro is my favorite part. It's like, Mother dear, oh, we know you're down there listening. How do we follow your sweet advice to, you know, that part? Like, joke about their mom being in hell.
You just like the part because the mom's in hell. That's
yes, I like it. And because it kind of, it builds up to a joke. Because there is no in-between choruses in the 82 film. They just go, Easy Street, and they just sing that over and over again, and they don't have a break. It's just that over and over and over again. Where I feel like it kind of lands better as a joke and as a fun song where you're like, oh, here they go again. Whereas this is just like, oh, they're going, they're going, oh, they're going, they'll just keep going.
Yeah, but they dance, though.
And it's ridiculous. The dancing is ridiculous. Like, it's Carol Burnett doing slapstick while Tim Curry and Bernadette Peters chew scenery.
Everyone's doing the thing they do best.
I know. Sad that Tim Curry can't dance anymore. He can't even walk anymore. It's sad.
It's so sad. All right, then Act 2 is all reprises, so we're done.
My speeches are greeted with thunderous acclaim at 2 universities bearing my name. Yes, something was missing each time I got through. That something was someone, but who?
I want to talk about one song. One song in Act 2.
Sure.
It's actually my favorite song in the entire show, and it's cut from the 82 movie, and it's enough for me to hate the 82 movie as is. And it's called Something Is Missing, which is Warbucks' basic confession, why I want to be your father, and I'm dedicating to being your dad, because I didn't realize I was missing something in my life until you wandered in. And it's a sincere moment where Annie has the big change of deciding, yeah, I guess you could be my father. And you don't have that in the 1982 Annie movie.
Yeah, but at the same time, who cares? This song sucks.
Fuck you! Why does this song suck?
No, it's fine. I don't know. I just feel like the Warbucks-Annie relationship is so unbelievable that really nothing helps. And this song is like a Band-Aid.
Why do you think it's so unrelatable?
Okay, billionaire guy who literally a few days ago didn't think orphans could be girls suddenly wants to be the father to a little girl whose spirit is unshaken by literally everything. These two people can't exist.
What do you have against optimism, Andrew?
Optimism is stupid.
And if any of you are optimistic, you are stupid.
It depends to a point. I mean, if you're a true optimist, would never see the bad things in anything, which Annie does do that. So she's stupid. And technically, in the show, she ends up being correct. But if this show was in real life,
she'd be thrown off a bridge.
She would be thrown off a bridge or rotting in an orphanage.
You know,
I'm sorry.
Fact.
There's in real life. There's no man with a big turban that he can tie to a helicopter and then hang from to save you. Okay,
you're just a girl splat on the ground.
Yes.
Fun fact, and I'm very interested in your opinion on this. There was a production of Annie about 10 years ago. It has to be, and they did the entire show all the way through. They just changed one thing, and it was And they got in a lot of trouble for doing it. At the end, after the big song and everything, everything fades away, and Annie's back in her rags, and she's back in the orphanage, and it was all a dream. And I think that's brilliant.
Oh man, that's
and
brilliant.
She's just
that's
there
genius.
Singing, I don't need anything but you.
And then the audience goes, ha ha.
They stand up and cheer. Yes,
okay.
A thousand Tonys.
I like that ending better.
You do?
I like that ending better.
They will never let anyone do that ending again, because the one theater that tried it, they got shut down.
Yeah, well, it's better. It's a better ending.
Why do you think it's a better ending? More realistic?
More realistic. You lose the political edge, because now you don't have to think about whether or not Warbucks is a good person or not, because he's not real. Annie's parents, you know, there's optimism there, because, you know, maybe her parents are still alive. Maybe.
Yeah,
that was
maybe.
Just part of the dream, you know, who knows?
Mm-hmm. But Andrew, here's the other thing. You are a connoisseur of cheese in the form of musical theater. This is
I
the
am.
Cheesiest musical on the planet. Why don't you like this?
It's cheesy in the worst possible ways.
I need more elaboration on that.
I can explain it in one word, actually.
Yes.
Children.
I thought it was going to be orphans, but why do you have against children? You liked Matilda that had children in it.
I did like Matilda, but Matilda was carried by an adult very hard. And this show tries, but Miss Hannigan, I'm sorry, she's not as good as the other person's, I can't remember their
Trunchbull.
Name, but the other person. Trunchbull. They're not nearly as good, and Miss Hannigan's not in it nearly enough.
Yeah.
And Warbucks, it kind of sucks. In this show and Matilda are honestly really similar, but Matilda just does everything better.
Now, as someone coming into this without knowing much about Annie, but you apparently have seen it before, but you know how popular this show is. This thing is, like, gangbuster popular.
Yeah, I know. I've never liked it, ever. I don't even really know what it is.
But my question is, do you think it's deserving of that popularity?
Based on songs alone, I suppose.
You think the songs are actually really good, then?
Yeah, I think most of the songs are really good. I just hate how this is put together. I hate the themes. I hate the characters. I just can't stand it. And you maybe watch it twice, Jess, okay? So, whatever.
Well, we're going to take a moment and talk about what else has become of Annie the musical before we wrap this up.
Oh, God. What else happened in Annie?
We really don't want to talk about the other versions, and if we leave this open, we're going to ask about it, right?
Okay.
So let's just wrap that fucking shit up. All right, so... So the first thing that ever happened with Annie after this very, very popular Broadway show is they tried to make sequels.
Well, I mean, why not? Have Annie and Daddy Warbucks go on an adventure with Punjab, and we can call it Annie the Adventure 2.
Well, the first sequel they tried to do was called Annie 2, Miss Hannigan's Revenge.
We've only been together for such a little time. And now there's going to be somebody else. And everything you and me is going to be all different.
Of course it is. Changes. Changes. That's what life's about. Changes. Often turn you inside out.
And we change things just in small ways. And right now, just stay for always.
Baby, are you frightened?
No, sir.
And it opened at the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts in Washington, D.C. in December of 1989. To universally disastrous reviews. Extensive reworking of the script and score proved futile, and the project ended before reaching Broadway. That was the first one.
Well, did Miss Hannigan get her revenge?
Her revenge was that the show wasn't popular.
Damn. I just want to see Miss Hannigan beat her. I just want to see Miss Hannigan come in, swoop in, and take all Daddy Warbucks' money, and that's the end of the show.
And a messy divorce.
Yes.
In 1993, a second attempt with a different plot and different score titled Annie Warbucks was developed in a workshop at the Goodspeed Opera House under the direction of Michael P. Price, where the original Annie enjoyed its world premiere in 1976. It subsequently opened off-Broadway at the Variety Arts Theater, where it ran for 200 performances.
Banging at my door, big in trouble.
I'm just going to give you a little bit of a plot synopsis of it, just in case you're interested. On Christmas morning in 1933, when Child Welfare Commissioner Harriet Doyle, replacing the original's Miss Hannigan as the villain of the piece, arrives on the scene to inform Daddy Warbucks he must marry within 60 days or else the child will be returned to the orphanage. Daddy Warbucks' whirlwind search to find a fitting bride uncovers not only a plot by Doyle and her daughter Sheila Kelly to strip him of his fortune, but also his true feeling for his longtime assistant Grace Farrell. A gaggle of cute girls seeking parents and President Franklin Delano Roosevelt return to take part in the shenanigans. It's basically the Santa Claus 2, the
I was just
going to
say that. This is literally just the Santa Claus 2.
But this came out like 20 years before the Santa, 10 years before the Santa Claus 2. So honestly, who ripped off who?
The Santa Claus 2 rips off Annie 2 in maybe the worst Tim Allen fiasco of all time.
And apparently this got really good reviews.
So how come no one likes it?
It never made it to Broadway. No one, I mean, it probably doesn't hold a candle to the original as far as songs come, but it was probably fine. Oh, it because their investors pulled out before it could go to Broadway, so it basically went nowhere.
Fair enough. How come no one else put it on, though?
I don't know. Why would, I mean, I guess the question is, why would you do Annie Warbucks when you could just do Annie? Which makes sense.
All right, well, we're going to revive Annie Warbucks. We're doing it.
All right, Andrew, who are you going to play?
Plus 2. We're going to call it the Santa Warbucks. Plus 2, Annie Warbucks.
All right, but the last thing we have to talk about... Yes, the last thing we have to talk about is the 2014 film, Andrew.
Yeah, that's the... What do we call that? Bad Annie?
Bad Annie. Yes. It was... It won a bunch of Razzies, including Worst Remake, and Cameron Diaz was nominated for Worst Supporting Actress.
Perfect.
And
it
have
didn't
actually
look good.
I have actually seen it, and believe it or not, it isn't good.
What? Really?
I should be anywhere but here.
I am going to play a clip right now of their version of Little Girls and just let that sink in for a second. And just remember, as bad as the original Annie is, it can get so much worse. Wow, wasn't that bad?
No.
Did you know Will Smith produced that film, originally envisioning it as a role for his daughter Willow?
Are you serious?
Yes. So Will Smith is a producer on this film. But then pulled out as acting in the role because it was supposed to be him and Willow playing Annie and Daddy Warbucks, and that didn't work out. So Jamie Foxx stepped in with Quvenzhané Wallace.
Okay, I have to say, everything that Will Smith does to try to make his kids famous is the worst thing ever to exist.
Jay-Z also produced this film.
Okay, that's not true. You're just making that up.
No, I'm looking at the list right here.
Yeah. Whatever. I don't care who produced it. Annie sucks, and this version of Annie's probably the worst one.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's not good. She can't read in this one. Like, that's a big plot point, is that her character doesn't know how to read.
Is that racist?
It might be, but...
It might be. Punjab, can we get your input on this? What do you think? Is that racist?
Punjab, is it racist? Punjab, email the show. Tell us if it's racist. But you know who definitely isn't racist?
Me.
Yes. All right, Andrew, what is your overall thoughts on Annie and your cheese rating?
My overall thoughts on Annie are that children should be locked in my basement. I mean, someone else's basement. and not allowed on stage. Ever. My cheese rating is a pile of garbage.
Holy shit. That is the most negative you've ever been on something. Like, we have 100% done worse stuff than this.
I have an unnatural hate for Annie, and I can't explain it, and we're not allowed to talk about Annie ever again, because there's no way I can be objective about it.
Jesus Christ, Andrew. Annie is fine. It's not the greatest thing in the world. It's a little too cheesy for me. I listen to Maybe and, Something Was Missing every now and then. NYC is my go-to workout song, so it's not like this is a bad show. It's just not that great, and it's gotten a little overplayed, and maybe in another 14 years we'll try a remake again, and it won't be terrible.
But I'll be here saying maybe.
I give it a plate with nothing on it as my cheese rating because it's the Great Depression. Don't be wasted it on cheese frivolities.
Neither one of us gave it any actual cheese.
And maybe now this prayer, the last one of its kind, you'll be there calling me baby, maybe.
All right. I mean, real talk, though, Annie's fine. The music's
fine.
I just don't like it.
But thank you for listening to our show. please follow us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher at Musicals with Cheese. We're on Twitter at Cheesy Musicals. Our Patreon is Musicals with Cheese. Come show us some love there. Our Instagram is Musicals with Cheese. Our YouTube page is Musicals with Cheese. And we have a lot of brand new stuff on our YouTube. Check it out. You're going to like it. Our email is musicaltheaterlives@gmail.com. Our title card is created by the incredible Jolene Casco. Follow her on Instagram at Jolene Casco. Andrew, is there anything else you want to say before we wrap this shit on up?
The sun will come out tomorrow. I sang it pretty good. What do you think?
I give you an A+. We'll see you next time on Musicals with Cheese.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.